You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Which for anyone that's interested, I believe what they're doing is, like, the ulnar is the UCL. That's the ligament. They're actually just moving its location inside of his arm.
I don't know how much that makes me, or how much better that makes me feel about it.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
Yeah, no one knows that we're actually recording previous to the new year, but as far as they're concerned, this is the first episode of 2018, and 2018 seems like a much better year than 2017.
We are friends with fantasy benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this first episode of the new year is Andrew Dewhurst. Andrew, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Justin.
No one knows that we're actually recording previous to the new year, but as far as they're concerned, this is the first episode of 2018, and 2018 seems like a much better year than 2017.
Well, absolutely. Things can only go up from here.
Exactly. So what we're going to do today is we are going to talk some Detroit Tigers. We're going to be doing team previews every day this month. You should get a brand new episode as well as a mini pod that comes out later in the day, where Matt and I, Matt Thompson, our lead prospect analyst, talk about all the prospects for that particular team. These episodes should run 30 to 45 minutes or so. Some may go a little bit longer because we have people who like to talk a lot here. But for the most part, they should be kind of quick hits into teams, and then we'll start getting into other kind of previews in February. We start diving into positions, diving into ADPs, things like that. But we like to start off kind of January as a month to just kind of dissect each individual team. So let's start off with kind of the big name that is still left in Detroit, because he has some big questions. That's Miguel Cabrera. What do you see from Cabrera this year, Andrew?
I look for a big bounce back from Cabrera this year. Cabrera suffered last year from two herniated discs after he separated from his wife. The factors I'm looking at is what caused a down 2017 for Cabrera. So he's a guy I'm going to really look for at first base, because I think there's a lot of bounce back potential here. With potential also comes quite a bit of risk, as you know, your back's pretty important, and two herniated discs should be a cause for concern. He can be healthy, and if his head's in the right place, you could see Cabrera being among the best coming into 2018.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm as optimistic as you. The back issue to me screams stay away until we see him healthy, and we won't get to do that until pretty much in spring training and the beginning of the season. I doubt if I have any early drafts I'm going to take a shot on Miguel Cabrera. For instance, I'm in the RotoWire Dynasty Invitational, and that is going, the slow draft that is going on as we speak, and Miguel Cabrera is not even on my draft list. Like, you know, and that's pretty difficult for me to take someone off a draft list. I just don't trust the back. I mean, he's obviously not a guy who is in the greatest of physical shape. He's 34 going on 35 at the beginning of the season. The herniated discs aren't something that necessarily just, you know, relieve itself. So, and once you have back problems, they tend to snowball and just get worse and worse over time. So I'm going to stay away, but I see the upside. And the upside is a first-round player that you're going to be able to get outside of probably the top 50 to 70 picks. And that in itself is a little bit tantalizing. And I think if he shows some health early on in spring training, I may change my tune a little bit. But for now, I'm staying away from Miggy.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'd really be looking for come spring training, if you're not drafting until then, is keep an eye out what his weight's at.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's lost weight or if he shows up in significantly better shape, that will alleviate a lot of your back problems. Because he's a big dude. So, you know, that extra weight isn't going to help back problems. You know, if he's shed that weight, he's in great shape. He's somebody I think you could potentially get a steal on in a draft.
All right. Let's move over to a guy who is another guy in the infield, but is more of a newcomer to the team. And I'm going to totally butcher his first name. Jamar Candelario was traded over from the Cubs. He has some pretty interesting minor league numbers, a guy who has been able to hit for high averages in the minors, walks a fair amount, and even did so in his short stint in the major leagues last year, walked at a 9% clip. He's going to be manning third base on the regular with Nick Castellanos moving out into left field. Is Candelario a guy you're targeting this year?
No. he's got the plate skills, and I think he's somebody, I mean, he's not a guy I would target, but a guy I might watch in waivers unless I'm in an AL-only league. You fall down deep enough that you're getting Candelario pretty late. But I don't know if there's any actual he's going to be on. I mean, the expectation is that he's going to play third base every day. But if he struggles, I wouldn't be stunned by any means if he got sent down at some point. Castellanos can still play third base if they need it. But yeah, I mean, doing some research on him in previous days, it's expected he's got good plate skills. He's going to be a good contact hitter. It's just going to be a matter of whether that power pans out. You know, if it does, he'll probably be no more than a 25 to 30 on guy's peak.
Yeah, I don't think he's got much more than maybe league average power. And at the third base position, I think that isn't going to play very well. And I think there is a real chance that he could get pushed, you know, back into the minors, largely because I don't know how well Nick Castellanos can play the outfield over the course of a full season. And he may end up needing to go back to third because I don't know if he can defensively play it very well. So, Candelario, I think he's an AL-only guy for me. And even that, he's not super enticing as a guy that I want to spend too much money chasing a guy like him. Anybody else in the infield that is interesting to you or that we should talk about?
I think there's maybe I spent a lot of time thinking about James McCann as I've been looking through the Tigers. Not a huge guy that can have, I think, could add some value in two catcher leagues. He's going to play. He's got, I mean, last year he hit 13 home runs and a handful of 40 runs, 50 RBIs in 106 games. So he's going to play. Had an okay average at 253, but he's really the only guy they've got. I don't expect. I mean, they brought in Derek Norris on a minor league deal. He'll probably be back up, I think. Although Roster Resource has John Hicks listed today. I mean, he's got some in two catch. I think he'd get drafted in those situations, maybe at best as the, you know, maybe in the 13 to 15 range in a 15 teamer. There's nothing like, I don't think Dixon Machado is worth looking at, and Jose Iglesias would be a guy you could play at shortstop in extreme injury type desperation needs. Cause he hits for okay average and he'll provide you with some steals, but you're not going to get much else from a lot of these guys. I think a lot of the counting stats, like your runs and RBIs, just aren't going to be there on the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think McCann, like said, two catcher leagues, 15 teams. He has some interest as a second catcher, but for the most part, I try not to punt that my second catcher or my first catcher in a two catcher format. I just think there's too much negative value, and McCann isn't a guy that I'm typically targeting. Iglesias is a guy that I don't mind in AL only as like a middle infield kind of option, but the problem with him is he's never really put together a full season at the major league level, which is a problem because especially in AL only, you want at bats. You know, I talk about at bats being currency all the time, you know, if he's only getting 130 games like he did last season, he's leaving something on the table. So even in AL only, he's kind of a meh kind of play. Let's move on out into the outfield and talk about some of the guys we've got out there. The aforementioned Nick Castellanos moves from third base. He's going to be playing, I'm guessing left field, or I haven't even checked if he's where exactly he's playing, but he's going to be playing in the outfield. He is a StatCast darling. Are you a fan of Nick Castellanos?
Yeah, I look for Castellanos to be he's a guy that can really be great for you. I think you're going to get at a really good value. As you mentioned with the StatCast numbers, Castellanos provided the 11th most or 12th most hits above 95 miles an hour last year. 41.7% of all of his hits were above that. And the thing I think we get lost when we're looking at StatCast numbers is they can be difficult to extrapolate because we're getting a lot of different measures that are fairly new to a lot of us. But in general, guys that hit the ball hard, we should expect to have high slugging percentages. So while Castellanos' numbers weren't great last year, there's lots of room for upside with him. As a guy that could provide 30 plus home runs for you and come to you at a cheap cost with dual eligibility.
Yeah, I was a big Castellanos guy last year, and a lot of it was based on how hard he hits the ball, the StatCast numbers. I think there has been a little bit of talk within baseball that maybe the Tigers' gun in terms of their StatCast data is a little hot, because there seemed to be quite a bit of a discrepancy between their numbers and other league numbers, especially when you saw a guy like JD Martinez move from Detroit to a place that probably should have benefited him, and maybe even and lost kind of a tick. So I wonder if maybe we get a little overexcited about Castellanos, and his StatCast numbers are a tad bit inflated. I still like him. I mean, he's a guy that I think he walks enough to not kill you in OBP formats. You know, hit 26 home runs last year. I don't think that's fluky by any stretch of the imagination. I wonder how much upside he really has given the lineup around him. I find it hard to believe that he's going to be able to hit another 100 RBIs with the team as currently constructed. I wonder if the day-to-day drag in the outfield may, you know, hurt him at the plate. He's young. He's only 25 years old. He's going to be 26 this before the start of the season. I think there is a little room for growth, but I'm not necessarily thinking there's a huge upside here. But that being said, you mentioned the fact that his draft cost isn't very high, and so I think given where he's going, if you miss out on kind of the first few tiers of third base, Castellanos is a guy that I wouldn't mind plugging in third base or in the outfield for a fairly affordable rate.
Yeah, be a nice guy to, if you, depending on the cost, to have on your bench to help plug some holes if you need them, who could provide maybe better expected outcomes.
Let's talk about Mikey Matuk, who is going, or you know, slated right now to be an everyday outfielder for the Tigers and potentially lead off for them. Any interest in him?
Not a lot. I mean, from what I've seen from Matuk thus far, there's not a lot to get excited about. Like, the walk rate's okay. He doesn't strike out too much. But still, he doesn't have a lot of power. So there's not a ton of upside on that. I mean, he provided a 276 average last year in, you know, 109 games, which was markedly better than what he provided for the Rays the year prior. So there's some hope there that he could, you know, if you need a fill-in for your outfield, that at least he won't hurt you on average. But I don't know if he's going to provide enough counting stats. And again, he's another guy that's just going to be hurt by this lineup. You know, best case scenario for him, he bats leadoff, and you know, guys like Castellanos and, you know, Miggy Cabrera return to health, and maybe he can provide you a nice source of runs. But I don't know if you're going to get too much other than that from him.
I think he's like a perfect AL only guy because I think he could compile some counting stats just hitting leadoff, and you know, there is still a little bit of thump in this lineup, especially if Miggy and V-Mart can return to any kind of sort of their old selves. But yeah, I mean, outside, like I don't think he's draftable in a 15-team mixed league. So it's like he's a straight AL only guy. I'm willing to throw a few bucks on him because I think there isn't a whole lot that's going to challenge him for a spot within this organization.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a common theme in this conversation, mm-hmm. is a lot of AL only.
Any interest in a revival from Leonis Martin?
No, not personally. I don't know, like, I guess it's his job to have, but if there's any place that the Tigers have some depth in their minor league system, it's in the outfield. So if Leonis Martin is, you know, comes out and wins the job, then it's certainly, there's some stolen base upside there. But I think with Tigers trying to get younger and with guys like Daz Cameron and Christian kind of waiting to move in, he's definitely, Leonis Martin's a candidate to get moved before, possibly even before the season starts, or early in the season if other more contending teams have need in the outfield. But I just don't expect too much from the team. He's one of those guys that was had a lot of his best days are behind him, I guess is the best way to think of it at this point.
I agree with you. I think his best days are behind him. I would like to point out that between the major leagues and AAA last year, he stole 32 bases. And the year before, he stole 24 bases with 15 home runs for the Mariners. Now, I mean, that came at the cost of your batting average and your on-base percentage.
Yeah.
But I think this is another situation where, at least for the first half of the year, there's no reason for the Tigers to bring up any of their top prospects and start their clock. And you could see Martin just hold down a job for the first half or really the entire year based on them not really having much going this season in terms of, you know, competing for a playoff spot. So I think you could get some cheap speed from Leonis Martin. I think this is an AL only kind of play. But I think I'd spend $5 or $6 on him in AL only just for the speed because, you know, AL got a little bit better this offseason with D. Gordon coming, but it hasn't been rich with speedy talent for a little while.
Yeah, there could be a lot of value in 20 steals out of Leonis Martin in an AL only league especially.
And, I mean, we don't know what the new management is going to feel in terms of pushing it on the base paths, but this seems like a team that may want to try to do that because they're going to need to manufacture offense at times. So,
indeed, yeah.
All right, let's move over to the starting rotation, unless there's anybody you wanted to chime in on before we move.
I think the only other player I think that's worth checking on is Victor Martinez. It looks like he's going to be ready for spring training. Relevant in the past, and the biggest problem, obviously, is that he's going to be... So depending on your league, he may be immediately counted out. He's always hit for good average. You're not going to... I don't think we're ever going to... I'd be surprised if you saw 20 home runs out of him, but... Yeah, worth keeping an eye on, as he's also potentially going to be released if he's not on board with the youth movement that's happening in front of him, as he's in the last year of his contract.
All right, let's talk about the starters now. I'm pretty much going to throw most of these guys into one big crap pile, but let's start with Michael Fulmer. Are you scared about drafting him given the injury concerns?
No. I mean, he's got the same injury concerns that every other pitcher has. It wasn't like he missed some time at the end of the year. It wasn't Tommy John. And I mean, to date, I think Fulmer has shown the ability to consistently be a sound number two in your fantasy, if not two to three. I mean, he's a bulldog on the mound, and doesn't provide necessarily the high upside, high strikeout upside that you're looking for. But his ERA and WHIP have certainly been an asset.
Yeah, and I think there's still some room for him to grow. I mean, he's only 24 years old. Obviously there is injury, risk here, but it's not that much more than any other pitcher, like you mentioned, that's going to scare me off him. And I feel like you're getting a pretty nice discount on him because of the fact that he ended the season hurt and because it was his elbow, and that always scares people. But like you mentioned, it wasn't Tommy John. So as long as he comes out throwing well and he's throwing at the same velocity at the beginning of spring training or close to it, I'm not going to be very worried. I definitely want to see him throw a bit before I invest, but I'm not worried about Michael Fulmer, and I actually think I'm going to end up with him on a number of my teams. I actually ended up with him in the CBS mock that I did about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, the injury was, or what he had done was an ulnar transposition surgery,
mm-hmm.
Which for anyone that's interested, I believe what they're doing is, like, the ulnar is the UCL. That's the ligament. They're actually just moving its location inside of his arm. So,
I don't know how much that makes me, or how much better that makes me feel about it.
I think it shouldn't make you feel better. If I've been going through the Jeff Passan's audiobook for the arm, and they get into graphic detail of Tommy John and the things that happened. So, transposition surgery is one that's becoming more and more common, where they move the ligament around. But this could be a precursor. But I mean, if there's anything we know about that ligament inside of our arms, is that we don't know that much about it. So
yeah, I mean, virtually pitching is a precursor to Tommy John. So
yeah, having an arm at this point might as well be the precursor.
All right, here's your bag of crap. You got Matthew Boyd, Jordan Zimmermann, Mike Fears, or Fires. You interested in any of them?
Nope. Trying to stay away from the steam that's come off the bag.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm with you on that. What about Daniel Norris, former top prospect, was in part of the the David Price trade, has yet to really achieve any of the promise that we had for him, but. Pitchers sometimes don't develop as quickly as maybe we'd like them to. Do you have any faith in Daniel Norris?
I do. Norris is a guy I'm going to be taking a flyer on this year. We have to remember he's only a little more than a year off of cancer surgery, so that likely affected some development. And yeah, he's only 24 years old. So hard throwing lefty. He's got all of the things that we look for in a guy that can become, you know, a high end pitcher. So he's a guy I'm definitely willing to grab at the end of drafts just to see what happens. Because there's no real risk out of draft and hold leagues that, you know, you shouldn't be taking a flyer on.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this was a player that people, and I mean, obviously unfairly made comps about to Clayton Kershaw with. And, like, obviously that was unfair comp to make. But, I mean, he has that kind of talent in that arm. Like you said, got diagnosed with cancer, has beat it. He seems like a really resilient, I mean, literally slept in a parking lot in his van during spring training a couple years back. So Daniel Norris, he's a little bit of a strange bird, but sometimes I think that pitchers, a lot of pitchers are that way and just manifest differently. And Daniel Norris is a guy I think you can get really cheap in virtually every format, including AL only, and has some serious upside. So Norris is a guy that I will invest in, especially in deeper formats this year.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, you can be looking in a van down by a river near you at some point in time, right?
Yeah, I hope so. let's talk about the bullpen real quick. Shane Green comes into the season as the closer. Do you think he can keep it all year long, or is there someone else looming?
I think Ben, the bullpen doesn't look great. The only other guy in this bullpen that's worth noting is probably Joe Jimenez, who had great K per nine numbers last year and the last couple of years, but has also had some injury risk. But I expect it's Green's job to lose at this point in time. So if you're drafting now, I think Green can be a cheap source of saves. I think outside Jimenez, there's not much there to challenge him in this bullpen.
I'm right there with you. And I mean, I like what Jimenez could bring as a closer. I just don't see a real rationale to why the Tigers would make him a closer. This season isn't about winning. He's young. He's controllable. Do you really want to ratchet up arbitration when it comes? You know, Shane Green is an older guy. They can build up his value and trade him. You know, he just turned 29, so it's not like he is necessarily part of the future. So I think Shane Green will keep his job as long as he is halfway decent, and they'll look to move him, you know, maybe at the deadline. But then I don't think necessarily Jimenez is the first man up. I think Alex Wilson could get a shot, before Jimenez. I think Jimenez is part of the future, and in Dynasty and Keeper League, he's a guy that I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on if you play in a deep enough league in which you're taking flyers on relief pitchers, which I don't typically do in Dynasty. But outside of that, I think I'm staying away.
Yeah, just the only comment on Alec Wilson is he probably is the next guy up, and I do agree. I think Jimenez is going to be the kind of guy that gets kind of back a little bit for arbitration number reasons. Mm-hmm. It's also worth noting that the Tigers haven't necessarily, I don't think, cared about these things so much in the past. But with the ownership turnover, with the Tigers owner dying last year, it's anything can happen. And this is very much an organization in flux. So at this point, I would say anything maybe that we thought we knew about this organization, we should probably try to forget, as things could be changing quite a bit moving forward.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this first team preview and first episode of the new year. Andrew, why don't you tell people reach on social media and then what you're working on?
Sure. You can find me at Andrew K. Dewhurst on Twitter, working on a couple team previews for the upcoming draft guide, and then delivering hockey articles and hockey podcasts weekly until the baseball season, at least.
Definitely check out the hockey podcast if you're into fantasy hockey. Andrew is doing a kick-ass job over there with those. And then, of course, all of his work. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. If you're looking to get into the fantasy industry, Friends of Fantasy Benefits is always hiring. And by hiring, I mean we're willing to take on people who are willing to work for free. We've added a ton of new staff. I should probably actually tweet out all the people so people can follow them. But we're putting together, this staff is putting together a draft guide, which should be available at the beginning of February for purchase. Typically, I think you're going to be able to get it at like Amazon or iTunes. So definitely look out for that. We're going to be doing podcasts every single day. Your feed is going to get overloaded. I apologize if that's annoying to you, but we pride ourselves on being able to bring you a ton of fantastic content, and that's what we plan on doing this year. You can follow the rest of my work at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, Fantrax, and Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where I do a little radio show called The Tout Wars Hour. And that's going to wrap us up for this episode. For Andrew and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep all night with the phone off the hook. Falling in love is never by the book. Getting close beneath the blanket of